Hello, and thank you for joining this afternoon's program of At the Root of It on the Heritage Radio Network. And you can listen live today and every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.com or via podcast or in our archives. And I'll start today with a thank you to our sponsor, the Barter House, proud to support the Heritage Radio Network and its community of food lovers. The Barter House works with family vineyards and small bottlers from around the world to bring only the finest and most flavorful wines to market. Committed to sustainable agriculture and artisanal production, the Barter House offers outstanding wines at a wide range of price points to retailers, restaurateurs, and private collectors. To learn more about the Barter House, please visit them on the web at www.thebarterhouse.com or call them at 917-463-3076. And we'll start with the week in wine recap. It's November the 2nd, and October 30th marked the day that the most expensive bottle of wine was ever sold at auction. This was released in the Wall Street Journal. Three bottles of Chateau Lafite Rothschild 1869 were just sold at a Hong Kong auction by Sotheby's. The hammer price of $232,692 a bottle set a record for the most expensive bottle ever sold at auction. It may well be the most expensive bottle ever sold, though there are no records of private sales. Top first growth wines, of course, have had a huge run lately because of demand from Asia, primarily newly wealthy Chinese buyers. The Sotheby's auction ranked in a total of 8.4 million, more than triple the estimated original. All 284 lots were sold. The wine came directly from Domaine Baron de Rothschild, giving them perfect provenance. By way of comparison, billionaire William Koch paid $500,000 for four bottles of Bordeaux, vintages 1784 and 1787, that may now be believed to have been counterfeit. At this price per bottle of $232,692, the Lafite 1869 works out to about $29,000 a glass, or more than $2,000 a sip. You decide if it's worth it. And in the crop report, Drim Trizzies of the Wine and Grape Foundation said grape growers around the state of New York are in awe of this year's crop. He said in the final edition of the Verizon to Harvest e-newsletter published Friday, Cornell's Enology Extension Associate Chris Gerling provided a summary of the 2010 harvest based on comments from winemakers in different regions as well as lots of statistics. It came down to three common points. One, although different places had different weather paths, the overall fruit quality is excellent. Two, despite rain, early, late, and in between, most grapes were kept remarkably clean as long as humanly possible. And three, it's been intense with many different varieties ripening at once. So it's good for New York State that they're having a good year. As we know, Sonoma and California did not have quite such a good year. Kiwi wine to display carbon emissions by the glass on the label of the bottle. That's news in the market feed. Each bottle of Mobius Marbolo Sauvignon Blanc will display its carbon emissions per 125 milliliters glass on the label. The carbon emissions, which are calculated to measure the environmental impact of factors such as transportation and refrigeration, will be measured separately for each different export market. Bottles shipped in New Zealand, for example, will carry a figure of 140 grams CO2, whereas bottles sold in Australia will display 190 grams. A higher figure is due to be calculated for the UK market. The timing of the launch comes at a time when low prices rather than environmental concerns are driving wine sales. Craig Fowle, sustainability and compliance coordinator at the New Zealand Wine Company, which produces Mobius, admitted, "Price is still number one factor for consumers. Ethics and the environment are lower priorities, but after the recession, people will be looking for products that give them that warm, fuzzy feeling." A 750 milliliter bottle of wine at 190 grams CO2 per glass equates to a 5 kilometer car journey or 14 kilometer ride on the London Underground. And please stay tuned after the break. I'm going to be making a call-in to my guest this afternoon, sommelier Charlie Arturola, who just released a new film called El Camino del Vino, or The Ways of Wine, where he loses his palate when he arrives in Mendoza, Argentina, for the Masters of Food and Wine competition. So please stay tuned right after the break. We'll be right back. You are listening to At the Root of It on the heritageradionetwork.com, and this is your host, Aaron Fitzpatrick, with my guest today on the line, I hope. Is Charlie there?
Yes, he's here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Aaron, it's a pleasure to meet with you and your audience today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining.
All the way from Miami Beach, Florida.
Oh, lucky you.
Yes.
It's turning into winter here, so that does sound quite nice to be sitting on the sun of Miami.
Well, it's kind of windy, but, you know, for us today, it's going to be like 75, and we believe that this is cold.
Yeah.
But don't tell anybody.
Don't tell. Okay. So I did a brief introduction to your film before we started the program, and I would love for you to just do an overall introduction to it and let us know, has it been launched yet?
Well, I have to say, it's not launched yet because, as our directors will say, it needs to go around at the film festival. So, as last week, and this is great news for the art side of the film, we've been picked up as one of the 45, I believe, of 50 of international movies at the film festival in Mar del Plata, Argentina.
Oh, excellent. That is great news.
It's great news for everybody who is in the business of filming, but for myself, I have to say I'm getting ready to go in 2 weeks and just run the red carpet, as I say. But, you know, it's all about a guy who's a wine soldier or maybe you can call a cellar rat, a guy who would just, you know, like to promote wine around the world and happens to be, in this case, Malbec.
So the film is called El Camino del Vino, which translates in English to the ways of wine. Okay. And you're the main character.
I am the main character, correct, who loses his palate when he is at the peak of his profession, and he cannot speak wine to a very large audience in a wine seminar.
Uh-huh.
But I'm rescued for one of them is one of the most prominent enologists in the world, which is Michel Roland.
Uh-huh. He rescues you at the festival?
Actually, he rescued my palate.
He rescues your palate, okay.
Right. So it's an amazing, I would like to say, hour and 35 minutes of film. So a lot about me and my wine life after these 25 years going around the world trying to select wines and working for so many great restaurateurs and hotels and cruise lines in the world.
Uh-huh.
Where Charlie Arturola loses his palate and he needs to go back to his essence. But actually, of course, he's recommended by Michel Roland, who is my, my coach in a way.
Uh-huh.
And then I have somebody else, which is a very well-known sommelier in Europe. His name is Andreas Larsen.
Okay.
So Larsen is, in a way, my technical coach. So he's the one who brings back my techniques of tasting.
And you're using this primarily with being that you are in Argentina with the Malbec grape?
Correct, yeah. But this is beyond, I would like to say, the Mendoza vineyard, because it's, of course, can happen to anybody. And mm-hmm. By the way, that's the fiction of the movie. The leitmotif is my palate. But for three guys that they're in love of the... And they belong to the Bordeaux wine school, in a way, like, you know, Michel Roland, of course, from Pomerol. Andreas Larsen, a well-known Swedish sommelier that actually made his beginning in Bordeaux. Like myself, I made my beginnings in Bordeaux many years ago. So this is like the Malbec connection in South America. But, of course, we have a great guidance from a chef. We kind of leave the chefs out because the chef, they know so much about their palate, too.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably see, who is working with me as my confidant, in that movie is Chef Donato DeSantis, which is the chef that worked for 17 years for Gianni Versace.
Oh, okay. As a private chef?
He's a celebrity chef of living in Buenos Aires today, Italian, from Puglia. And Chef Donato said, Jelly, you know, Chef, we lost our palate like twice, three times throughout our life and cooking. I said, oh, I didn't know that.
Really?
The thing is, you know, apparently, as an old-time chef will tell me later, the chef, they never say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, you know, a brave chef sommelier, old-time sommelier, that he tells everybody that, you know, after going to so many ways to understand why his palate is not working, that what he needs to do is go back to his essence.
The beginnings, if you will, the root.
Correct, yeah. And what this translates is that, of course, as a family of immigrants from the Basque Country, my family moved to South America a long time ago, 100 years ago, and my last name is a very, very old Basque name from Guipúzcoa, northern Spain.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. And of course, what happened here, Erin, is that Charlie goes back, you know, to immigration. He met Italians. He met a lot of Catalonian people, Piemontese, Tuscan Germans. We have also the godson of Swarovski, at the Norton family. Then we have Susanna Balbo, who is Italian. Then we have Tempo Salva, who they are from Sicily. So every single winery that is in this movie, they have an immigrant connotation for us.
And is that why you decided to film the movie in Argentina, given how many transplants there are from different places in the world, as opposed to somewhere like Bordeaux in France?
Well, I tell you what, this is an idea of someone from Mendoza that was my cellar rat about 4 years ago in Marco Island, where I worked for a very, very short time, about 11 months. And he said to me one day, making an inventory in a radius, in a very small cellar, he said, you know, we got 10,000 bottles here. How in the world you know all these bottles? I say, well, when you work so long with, you know, so many cellars around the world, at some point you have to know what you own or what you buy, mm-hmm. and what you administrate. So what happened here is that Charlie meets Ramiro Navarro, who is this Mendocino fellow coming from Dale, Colorado. And he said, you know, one day I will actually film a movie. And that movie is going to be about my home country where I was born.
Uh-huh.
What I do like to do is, like, if you are down south for some reason, I would like to film a pilot whenever. So I didn't care less. I said, well, who knows? I never go down south. I never go down to South America. But much later, 2 years after he talked to me, the Master Food and Wine came around for the Park Hyatt Hotel. So I am down there. I was interviewed by a radio station, and then I was interviewed by a TV show. And someone say, you know, you can do this for us. Meaning, I say, what I can do? I say, well, we're going to do a pilot for the movie. And this fellow goes to me and say, well, you know, we're going to do it right now. We're going to start doing this. I say, well, I got only 4 days to be down here. I need to continue doing something else because, you know, I'm working as a freelance taster for a couple of companies. And I need to continue. I need to go to Vancouver and all that. I say, well, you know, just take another extra week and we make this happen. So we were so lucky, Erin, I have to say, because the Argentina Wine Bureau said to us that this would be probably the opportunity, and this is 2 years ago, that, you know, Mendoza can have its own sideways.
Okay. So it all just kind of came together, and that timing was just opportune. You jumped on it when it was presented to you.
Well, I didn't jump on it. Believe it or not, my wife, which is going around right now, she never believed in this project until the day that we land in Buenos Aires, and we got about 17 people after us with cameras and cables and everything. So everything actually turned out to be, you know, a wonderful, you know, trip in terms of, you know, places we visit, landscaping, the Cordillera de los Andes, which is a beautiful part of the world, the landscaping in Mendoza, going to the wineries and learning about, you know, what happened in the south of Mendoza, in San Rafael, learning about the families and the campesinos and the peasants that they worked, you know, the business of wine for so many years. And, you know, let's be, as I like to say, it's everywhere you go in the wine countries, you go.
Mm-hmm.
You go to France. You know, look how diversified is France today. I was in a party no longer than a week and a half ago, by the way, Friday ago, in Castillon, where it was the Gervevaux, you know, the end of the big harvest in the Côte de Castillon, and half of these producers, they were from England.
Yeah.
Another five, six tables, they were from Belgium and from Sweden. And a small quantity of winemakers today in Castillon, they were from France. And I said, that's how wonderful it is to be in wine countries today.
Happens
anywhere. Happens in Italy. Happens in Spain, in Portugal. Now, you know, the wine business is global. So happens now in Mendoza with so many French winemakers. And, I mean, we have one of the great winemakers of Languedoc, part of this movie, and his name is Jean Bousquet.
Oh, yeah? He's one of the characters as well?
He's one of the characters, yeah, he's the one actually who tells me about the Charlie. There's a point in your life that, you know, you got to disconnect with your past, but sometimes you come back, but you got to come back and just learn what are the values of what you took off. And of course, I went back to Uruguay. I met my son actually lives there right now, from my first wife, my son and my grandson. But my son is from the Caribbean. I mean, he wasn't born down south. My father is still around. And, you know, we went to the place where we make wine when we were kids. We actually had an incredible luncheon there. And, of course, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to play pétanque.
Pétanque.
So we played pétanque. We wear our berets, you know, the Basque.
Oh, from the Basque, yeah. There's the root there. Okay.
So, and then under the pergola were, you know, my grandfather and my nephews and I mean my nephews, my cousins and everybody from the family used to get together, you know, more than 40 years ago. I tried to recreate, you know, that type of life, because this was actually the beginning, and how, you know, my father used to make wine in a neighborhood that nobody was, you know, from there. They were Jewish, they were Russians, they were Slovaks, they were Polish, they were Italians, they were Basque. I mean, I think we were the only few Spanish people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we didn't do good wine, but it always was a celebration of food and family and friends, as I'm doing right now with a book that they're writing about my life, actually. In the wine business, what I said to someone the other day who was writing, I said, look, I mean, for me, wine is everything. This is what I've been doing since, you know, I probably got my first sip of wine when I was 4 years old.
Oh, yeah. Well, that being said, I mean, given your connection to it for so many years of your life, did you have to take a very method approach when you were taking when you were filming and just almost convince yourself that your palate was gone? Or were you able to compartmentalize the two?
I mentalized it a lot, believe me, because when they asked me, and this is the insight, and this is what happened for almost 6 months, because the movie was going to be the life of six wine guys from different parts of the world, one from New Zealand, one from Sweden, one from England, one from France, one from Italy and Spain, and myself, you know, of course, based in America and working the trade, and at some point, someone like HBO, Someone say from HBO say, well, that's easy. You know, you can actually celebrate the life of these guys that they go around the world. And you know, Erin, how is the life of our life in the trade, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we're going here, we're going there. And it's that easy. I mean, but it has to be
compelling.
It has to be flesh.
Yeah.
It has to be, like we say in America, where's the beef here? You
know? Yeah, exactly.
So. Somebody said, well, Charlie, can you tell us about your life? So I say, well, listen, if you really want to hear about my life, you need about a week. I said, well, that's why we need you. I said, well, we need you where? I said, well, can you fly to South America and we put a camera in front of you? Let me tell you, that was the most tedious 10 hours a day talking about my wine life and, my relationships in between because, you know, there were... I remember, my background is a cruise line, so I work in out of Venice, I work out of Gibraltar, I work out of Haifa, I work out of Istanbul, Athens, you know, in southern Italy, in southern France, I work in Provence for so many years, and Monaco so many years, so I learned my business with so many years from Europe,
uh-huh.
And I was the only Hispanic guy, you know, working... the cruise line business back in the mid-80s when nobody actually did care about wine.
Sure.
So, of course, my background is so rich of cultures that when I told these fellows, you know, very young, the chief producer is from Germany, the twins, they are the film directors, they have been working with Discovery Channel and CNN, and they work with so many, the United Nations too. They do a lot of filming around the world, and in a very fun way. They say, well, listen, come over and, you know, you just tell us about your life. I said, you guys are going to pay for me to go down south and speak, you know.
Not bad, Charlie, not bad.
Well, it was not bad. Let me just tell you, when I finished my week over there, and, of course, a parrillada asado, as you know, the beautiful Argentinian grills, actually, that it was never cooked by an Argentinian. It was a German guy cooking the Argentinian, you know, parrillada. And, of course, you know, a lot of wine, a lot of Malbec. We had a lot of support from the Argentinian Wine Bureau from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
And they say, well, listen, that's why we won. You know, that's why we won something like this happened, you know, with you. I mean, in terms of... the movie. So, of course, it took about 4 or 5 months to make the script happen.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody submit that to the HBO agent who said, if you have a leitmotif for this movie, you're going to be able to sell it. I mean, but the idea was to be more the art side, which is what's happening now. The movie was submitted to, you know, to go to Berlin in February. The movie was introduced at the San Sebastian Film Festival about 3 weeks ago.
Good. So you're getting it all over now, internationally.
Correct. Now we're competing with Sofia Coppola, which is great.
<you know.
laughs> And 2 weeks from now, we will be in Argentina just looking for an award. I mean, I don't know if it's, I have to say from the point of view of the professionalism of these young kids, I have to say, I never worked in my life, of course, in a movie, but, I mean, after 300 hours of filming, because that was the total of hours that we filmed, I moved to Argentina for 2 months, and I got the time of my life, and, of course, you know, in between, my wife had a ball, you know. My wife Pandora, she acted in the movie as well.
Yeah, I saw that on the trailer.
Right, and everybody who is here, by the way, Erin, everybody who is in this film, they're all, you know, people from the wine business. There's only one actress, I believe, but it's our tango dancer.
Yeah. Do you have a new respect for? Do you have a new respect for the acting after doing this movie in terms of the amount of work that has to go into it?
Oh, my God. Yes, because I went to sleep when people were getting up. I went to sleep many, many, many times, you know, after coming from the studio. at 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, when people actually were getting up, having their coffee, and I was beat up. I was actually, working in Buenos Aires in a studio, working in Mendoza, then we work in Montevideo for very small time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we did voiceovers very recently because, the movie actually was present to the press about 3 weeks ago in Buenos Aires. And from what we heard, they say Charlie's a great actor, but I have to say, he might be the one and only, but let's see what the critics say about, Charlie does a great job when he goes to the, of course, to the doctor, and he believes his paladin is working, and he's very worried about, what might happen with his life. In a way, if you are in the wine business forever, and your palate and your taste buds, they rely on so many people around the world.
Yeah, that's devastating.
you get worried. I was telling a dear friend of mine in Bordeaux last week. I said, look, we sell 10,000 cases of wine in Vancouver, in British Columbia, mm-hmm. every year. Mm-hmm. And that relies on my palate,
Sure, yeah.
And by the way, when you see the trailer, on YouTube, a lot of people, they wrote me and they say, is that for real, Charlie Arturo, lose his palate? Well, make believe, but in reality, that can happen to anybody. And as I said, for me, I'm so thrilled hearing that this thing is coming to a light.
Yeah.
Finally.
Well, it's so exciting. Yeah.
And I feel so proud to be with your audience here. And I'm open to any question. And I have to say, I did something in Facebook the other day for the Spanish TV. And we did something for the Polish TV about a month ago. And I couldn't believe, the movie is getting in the four corners of the world.
Yeah, well, it sounds like that. Well, let's point our listeners to the, where they could look at the trailer as well. What is the website for that?
The website is so easy. I mean, they can go to elcaminodelvino.tv.
Uh-huh.
We have a Facebook page, and you see, now we got Brazil on board. Actually, in a week or so, I'll be heading to Brazil because Brazil is going to do also a press premiere. And elcaminodelvino.tv, or they just can go to YouTube and put El Camino del Vino or The Ways of Wine,
uh-huh.
and they can see, couple of trailers. I have to say, every single trailer that we have in Spanish or English, and soon to be, of course, it will be in Italian and also French subtitles.
Because, oh, wow.
This is a multicultural movie where, of course, I speak French with Michel Rolland. I speak Italian with my confident chef, which is the guy who guides me through. And then, of course, I speak Spanish throughout the movie, but we have Paul Hobbs, too.
Right. Well, Charlie, you're like Carmen Sandiego over here with the male version.
Right, yeah. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? this is amazing, but it's all about the life of a wine fellow who loses his palate, but he found himself, working through the values of life, which is a great, great, I have to say, movie by the twins, Sebastian and we have Sebastian Carreras and Nicolas Carreras.
And they're the directors?
Those are the directors, and they are probably, I have to say, the most incredible professionals I will ever meet in my life because, they guide me through, this is what you have to do, this is how you go through your... And, of course, they prepare me a lot, because, after all, we were filming, as I said, about almost 300 hours of movie.
That's incredible. Well, I cannot wait to see it, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to do a rehash after it's launched and talk a little bit more about it. And
if everything goes fine, Erin, we will be ready by late February. So.
Well, thank you.
I'm happy to come back to you and just let me know, and I'm happy to be in your program, and I'm always open. As my webpage is charliewines.com, and I'm always there.
Well, thank you. I have plenty more questions for you, but unfortunately our timing is up, so we might have to do a part two.
Well, listen, I'm always open. Viva el vino, like we say.
Viva el vino, sí. Well, it's so nice to hear your voice, and thanks for taking the time to join us today on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Say hi to everybody, and you know, let's drink some wine and celebrate.
That sounds great, Charlie. Take good care.
Okay.
Bye bye. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us this afternoon, and our sponsor, the Barter House, and trusty producer Jack Inslee and engineer Nat Wiener. I look forward to seeing you next week, where we'll talk about the wines from the Jura. And in the meantime, have a great week.
El antifaz que tu maldad cubría cayó para exhibirte tal como eres. Yo te creí.
Thanks for listening to At the Root of It on the Heritage Radio Network. Coming up next, guys, 5 p.m. live, as usual on Tuesday, is Beer Sessions with Jimmy Carboni and Ray Dieter. Today, they're going to be talking American beer with Dave Broderick and Jen Schwetzerman. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you guys next week on At the Root of It. Thanks for listening.